These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Mr. Mankato, there he is, your training camp hero. The dreams of a dozen men who were late round draft picks, plaguing well in full team practice. Oh, he may turn out to be cut before the 53.
Gentlemen, it's welcome to the show. It's Mackie and Judd, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment, and today is a beautiful day. It's the start of Vikings training camp, which means it's also the start of our annual Mr. Mankato competition, where under-the-radar Vikings players will be crowned and celebrated. Happy holiday, boys. Oh. Chris Long from 5 Eyewitness News joining us as our official odds maker.
I believe that this is the only remaining remnant, whether involving the Vikings organization directly or outside, that honors Mankato, by the way.
Yeah, people always wonder, like, why do you guys call it? You know, they went to Egan, right? Oh,
Thank you.
Breaking news. Listen, we just don't have enough of a budget to change all the branding and marketing that we've built up for 7 years with Mr. Mankato, so we're just going to keep it. And we like the alliteration.
I still drove by the big yellow barn and got some candy and an apple pie on the way here today, so it worked out well.
You won't be
denied.
It's
a great spot. Emma Crumbie's is a great spot to just get 9 pancakes and pass out on the way back up 169. So Chris Long is here. He is the official odds maker of the Mr. Mankato committee here. And a few things to just, because I think we have a lot of people that are either new to the Score North YouTube channel. We're going to talk about this on Purple Daily. A lot of new listeners over the past couple years. So if you're not familiar, Mr. Mankato was originally founded on Mackie and Judd in 2014. It is an open source community discussion among Vikings fans and media to help crown and celebrate under the radar achievers, guys who pop up and flash at Vikings training camp. And the parameters are very simple. Eligible player must be third round draft picks or later, undrafted counts as well. They must not be established NFL players. And there's some subjectivity in here, and we leave it up to Chris to sort of sort that out. So like you're making man, we can debate that if we want to. And if a player doesn't fall into one of the two categories mentioned, then the committee can decide if that player gets put back on the ballot. And so former winners include Adam Thielen, Stefon Diggs, Cam Dantzler, Kyle Sloter, the greatest preseason quarterback in Vikings history. But Longer, let's just start with the odds. Let's count down. Let's create some suspense. You've spent every waking second all summer.
Well,
you've abandoned your job, your family, and you've just been focused on putting together the Mr. Mankato odds report.
Or I did this in 6 hours last night. But either way, works just fine.
Still,
it did
the
take
way,
six hours.
6 hours is a large commitment.
Every year, I just told you guys off camera. Every year I say, I'm just going to do the odds and I'll do some quick bullet points. And then I start. And I start finding out things like, you know, someone's got a kid on the way. Or, you know, someone's hometown is the site of Sci-Fi Channel's documentary Town of the Living Dead. I have to include those things. That's important stuff here.
And if you guys want, so there's literally like a 10,000 word write-up that Chris spent 6 hours. If you want the whole thing, scorenorth.com, you can find the whole thing and all the write-ups and information about the fourth cousin of the punter that's on the roster.
So grab a six-pack.
So, yeah, well, you might even need more than that. All right, so we'll start the field. Everybody always, the field is always an intriguing bet. The field hit 2 years ago when Brandon Dillon won. The field's 35-1 this year. And, Judd, I know you loved when I did kicker to be named later. I think that was a couple years ago, knowing that they were going to bring in a kicker to camp.
Yeah.
Resisted it this year, but I think it might happen. So if you're on that train, the field is your bet at 35-1. 99-1 is a punter, Zach Von Rosenberg. I don't see him on the roster, Chris, you may say. Well, they had to release him when they signed, I believe it was to sign Sheldon Richardson. I think if Mike Zimmer wants to play special teams games, he could be brought back to pressure Britton Colquitt a little bit. So I'm listing him on the board by name at 99-1. 35-1 are your former backup quarterbacks, Nate Stanley and Jake Browning. We're coupling them together. They obviously are much farther down the list than they were last year because of the presence of a guy who, oh, I think we'll probably discuss a little bit later in the odds. Yeah.
So real quick, So I think my guess is if Judd were coming in here to edit the odds, Judd, would you put these guys higher or more likely than 75-1, or do you agree with this?
No, I agree completely with Stanley. In a very lawyerish move, I would move to sever them because I think Browning's going to enter training camp as the number two, and Stanley and Mond are going to be behind them. So I would actually, in this case, move to sever Stanley and Browning and make Browning his own entity with slightly higher odds.
I think the logic here is that Kirk Cousins is clearly the starter, and he's going to be doing starter reps things and whatnot. But like, if there's another quarterback that will get attention, it will be Kellen Mond. And Jake Browning would have to throw for like 3 touchdowns in a preseason game, which is possible. And preseason does count when we're sort of tallying the resumes and the credentials of these under-the-radar players. So I think Browning is more likely than Stanley. But obviously, and we'll get to Kellen Mond. We'll see where he ranks.
Kellen Mond doesn't need to be the number two guy coming out of camp to be Mr. Mankato, Judd. He just has to be
correct
the guy.
Right. But I think that Browning... Well, you know what? Keep going.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more to come.
Because I see something I like.
Let's just pipe down a little bit over there.
60-1 last year's special team guys, Dan Chisna, whom I loved last year, and kind of threw on his 99-1 to win Mr. Mankato as a lark, and he almost did it by making the team despite the fact he played like 3 months of college football. KJ Osborne, they're both wide receiver special teams. They're both interesting. Osborne trending the other way than Chisna, but the fact that these guys have a chance to do some special things are why they're even on the list at 60-1. 40-1. Go ahead.
Did somebody?
I was just going to say, I mean, Osborne, I mean, at some point, someone needs to return a kick or a punt around here. And I think D.D. Westbrook's going to be the one that does that. He's ineligible because he's an established NFL player. I feel like K.J. Osborne missed a great opportunity.
Yes.
Last year in this competition and even in the season.
There's some guys coming later that I think might fill in the return roles, too. 40-1, 3 quarterbacks, not a coupled entry, each guy by himself. Amari Henderson, Dylan Mabin, Luther Kirk. We all know about Vikings corners. Somebody's going to have a chance to run up the depth chart. There's room somewhere to do something at corner. You make some amazing one-handed interception. You do a pick six or two a la Audi Cole in a preseason game. Who knows? Maybe you grab some Mr. Mankato steam. Okay,
Or you just need an article that says that you're the gambler and you're going to be pick six guy like Marcus McCauley, who we actually gave a retroactive Mr. Mankato award to in 2007 for his work.
Now, keep in mind, too, though, there's an important curveball that's been thrown for the first time in the 2021 Mr. Mankato competition, and that curveball is this: fewer preseason games. So, like, this is going to be based more on practice in Eagan, because before it was 4 preseason games, 3 of which the Scrabinis just dominated it. We're now down to 2 of those. The joint practice with Denver could be important as well, but I'm just saying the opportunities to flash in games has definitely been decreased by quite a bit for some of these guys.
It's going to help that we're actually in Eagan again this year, too, after last year feeling around in the dark for a Mr. Mankato.
As long as you fan me off when I'm sweating profusely today, it'll be good I'm there.
I had to climb Buck Hill for a story yesterday. Oof. Not excited about standing out on the practice field today, but hey, I'm glad we're back in. Don't get me wrong. 30-1. Boy, if there were a Mr. Mankato name contest, this is one of our finalists, and I don't think he wins, and we'll get our winner later. Tough Borland.
Football.
I mean,
that's as football of a football name as you can possibly concoct.
Tough Borland is a linebacker. There's going to be some time for linebackers to try to do something. I think the Vikings are going to have some depth guys at linebacker. I'm stalling a minute so I can look through here. There was a really good note with him. Here it is. He and JT Barrett are the only 3-year team captains at Ohio State ever. That's
wow.
So that's saying something. I mean, and his name's Tough. And Judd, his father played for the USFL's Michigan team. You got the mascot for them?
Oh, that was Anthony Carter's team. No.
The Michigan Panthers.
Panthers, okay.
I would
AC. I believe AC was a Panther.
So that's Tough Borland at 30-1. 25-1, we've got our former Mr. Mankato. Can he do it again? Brandon Dillon. Also listed with him at 25-1 is another tight end, Zach Davidson. He's the feel-good kid, Division II, Central Missouri, I believe. Played 1 year of college football at tight end. That's because he was a punter. One of the, you know, if I had a nickel for every time I saw a guy transition from punter to tight end, I'd be, well, I'd have a nickel. So Brandon Dillon trying to recapture the magic of 2 years ago that he hasn't been able to turn into playing time, so he's still eligible. And Phil, yeah, you mentioned he'd be our first repeat Mr. Mankato because all the other guys ended up actually splashing on the roster. So
yeah, I think in terms of Zach Davidson, you know, because some of this is about what will the media and the fans sort of latch on to, right? Stories and unique angles. I think the fact that he's this guy who does multi, he's like a utility player. He can punt, he can catch passes. I think there's going to be stories written about him, which elevates his media presence, which gives him a better chance. If he catches a touchdown pass in a preseason game or something and flirts with the 53, then he's got a real shot here at 25-1.
He's
6'7" and he's a punter. I love this.
Ridiculous. Yeah. So if he plays in a preseason game, which he will, and catches a couple passes, and in that same game is asked to punt, what does that do to his value?
Because dude, skyrockets it. Yes.
We'll go crazy.
100%.
Like, we'll be like, oh, multidimensional, keep him.
Something worth going to. I found a good scouting zinger for every guy. Nice. I found some scout ease. Courtney Cronin would be proud of me here. For a lot of the high-profile guys, here's the zinger for Davidson. Gangly and ungainly, he's an enigma as a one-year wonder with mega production seemingly coming from nowhere. Here was his line in his 1 year of playing college football, Division II, but still. 40 catches,
yep.
Tight end, 40 catches, 894 yards, 15 touchdowns in Division II football.
He was a monster.
22.4 yards per catch.
Take that, Kyle Rudolph.
6'7", man. Just put him in the back corner of the end zone and let Kirk throw a pass above everyone's heads.
Up next, where are we? I was 25-1, Dillon and Davidson. 20-1, a trio of defensive ends. I kind of grouped a lot of position guys together odds-wise, figuring they all have sort of an equal chance to pop. Patrick Jones, Janaris Robinson, Kenny Willekes. We loved Kenny Willekes last year. Got hurt, didn't really have a chance to shine. It's going to be tough for these guys because obviously Daniel Hunter, Stephen Weatherly, they're the top dogs. There is even some depth returning behind them. But if any of these guys can jump, the guy I really like is Janaris Robinson. He's a pretty amazing story. His family's home was destroyed by a hurricane. Lives in near Panama City, Florida. And he asked Florida State to help him to make sure it was legal. This is back before players could get paid to do a GoFundMe through Florida State fans and made enough to rebuild his mom's house. And 2 years later, they moved back into it. He's done a backpack drive for high school kids in need in the Panama City area. He led a bunch of the rallies in the wake of George Floyd at Florida State. This guy's, he's got leader written all over him, and I really like what I've seen and heard from him.
Love it. It's another position, too, where, like, there's some positions that are just way harder because people are going to wonder, and we'll get to Wyatt Davis at some point, but, like, you know, shouldn't he be higher? He might be a starting guard. Yeah, but, like, how does a guard flash at training camp?
Right.
You know, defensive ends, cornerbacks, receivers, even linebackers. Like, there's certain positions where you just are going to have a better chance to flash in this competition.
I like it a lot. And I think one of those guys will, like you said, will have the, play at some point during training camp. All right, now we're getting into sort of the middle guys. And if you're a betting man or woman, these are, sit up, because these are the ones, you know, if you're not going to just throw a dart, these are the ones that I think have a shot. Another coupled entry for you, Judd. I know you don't love him. Running back Kene Nwangwu and wide receiver Amir Smith-Marset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically, those guys
I
are
like these.
Only yep. here to try to run KJ Osborne out of town and be the new kick/punt returner. They're going to get chances. They are both obviously very fast and burners. Let's see. Smith-Marset, 28.7 yards per kick return at Iowa, number two all-time in the Big Ten. Here's the scouting zinger on him. Oh, here's the Judd. Buckle up. Real right. deal juice can crank it up hot down the field.
Awesome.
Oh, you know what?
Inject it.
That means, Lana, that means nine routes.
Yep.
That
yeah.
means nine.
Come on.
We're talking nine routes.
Football!
We're talking Mr. Mankato.
And as for Kene Nwangwu, the scouting zinger on him is elite testing numbers for a running back.
Dude, did he have the fastest 40 time of any of the pro days?
Didn't run at the combine, but did a 4.29 at pro day. And he did it. He's 210 pounds. He's not like a little water bug. He's a big dude.
I'm a little nervous. You can never. Oh, go ahead, Judd.
That scares me because if you go back to 2005, I guarantee you I can find the Troy Williamson scouting report that said elite testing numbers for a wide receiver.
Well, yeah, but you're not wasting a seventh overall pick on
Nwangu.
No,
I know, but this is what, but I'm trying to think of the Mr. Mankato candidates here. If you test well,
so
it doesn't mean that you're going to get on my field in Egan.
Okay.
And knock them off the side. All right, tough guy.
I will say that I trust the combine 40 numbers more because it's more of an objective exercise. These pro day 40s, I mean, you might have your cousin Bob off in the corner like, oh, a 3.7, that's crazy. Look how fast he is.
Pro days are legit because they've got to have scouts in there to see it, but there was reports of a hand-timed that was like 3/100 of a time faster, so that was his
cousin.
See,
that's my, yeah.
One other note on Amir Smith-Marset, and I like this. This was deep research. In an interview with Patrick Peterson, I think it was on Peterson's, he's got a pretty good podcast, said that at one point during a mini camp or rookie camp, Smith-Marset was sitting there, and the locker room was kind of quiet and chill, and he's looking around, and he gets up as a rookie and says, hey, where's the aux cord? What's the Bluetooth? How do I do this? He's like, I'm going to play some music. Like, it's too quiet in here. I want to get everybody going.
Love it.
Peterson said,
Leadership.
Love that.
That's gutsy for a veteran to say it's my turn on the aux cord, and this guy stepped in his, third week in there and did it. So those two guys, 16-1, their splash will happen on either some ridiculous 9 route or a kick return touchdown, punt return touchdown. 12-1. Two receivers who are on this list, maybe higher than they should be, only because of their names. The first, Blake Prohl. His last name's Prohl. Everybody loved Ricky Prohl. He was the prototypical Caucasian receiver that everybody loved and fawned over for so many years. So we'll put him at 12-1, probably a little higher than he should be because he's Ricky Prohl's kid. Next name at 12-1, wide receiver, Wap Fillior.
Yeah, who is this guy? Like, are you just making up names now at this stage?
Hard to for Tuff Borland to not be the name of the year on the Mr. Mankato board. I'm going to read Wap Fillior's line here because I don't want to mess it up. You say Wap, you go, what is that, like Whopper? Yep.
Or like the dance?
Nope.
What? He's named after the Whopper sandwich?
Given name is Mr. Elias D'Angelo Fillior. His young father used to take the kids to Burger King on the regular. Dad would always get a Whopper and normal burgers for the kids. Young Mister complained he wanted the same burger his father had. Dad said, there's no way a six-year-old's going to take down a Whopper, but I'm going to buy you one and see. He did, and it became his go-to order. At first, Little Whop ran around and started playing football as a six-year-old. The little part faded out in junior high, leaving us with, wonderfully, Whop. His mother, though, still calls him D'Angelo, won't call him Whop.
And he's going to flame broil opposing cornerbacks in three preseason games.
Okay.
There's a lot there.
That's got to be a story. That's got to be a story.
Well, and there's more to it. He had, I believe it was before he was born, his parents lost a son, a tragic accident, a one-year-old. And he's got that. So the parents threw all this energy into him. And he says his brother is still there with him every day. Yeah, this guy's got a lot of stories. Big Ten guy, Indiana. A lot to like out of Wap Fillior, in addition to just the amazing name. Somebody's going to find that last roster spot at receiver, and I think whoever it is, especially if it's Wap or Mr. Prohl, certainly we get some consideration for Mr. Mankato.
Yeah. I'll tell you, before we get into the last handful here, a quick shout-out to our friends at Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. So let's say you're planning on heading down. Maybe you're going to head down to the night practice this weekend. Why don't you hop on your bike? It's hot. It's swassy. Hop on something where you can really feel the wind riding through that hair, that chest hair of Judd Zulgadz as he rolls into Egan TCO PC.
No.
Keep your shirt on, actually. No. Whatever you need, whatever you ride, Dennis Kirk has you covered. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. And if you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day. When the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. All right,
football.
Home stretch here.
10-1, guys. Safety Cameron Bynum. He was a cornerback at California, fourth-round draft pick. Scouting zinger. Suddenness working back downhill is middling.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, then.
Not all the zingers are positives.
No. I could spend an hour on the problems that I see then with this, but I won't.
Well, that's just one. There were 15 good ones. That was just the most zinger of all the scouting zingers. I'm just picking the one that summarizes the player. I mean, who knows? Safety, it's Harrison Smith, it's Xavier Woods, and then kind of everybody else. He's going to have a chance. Interesting, Cal only played 4 games last year, so there's not a whole lot of tape on this guy, and he was still a 4th-round draft pick. Also at 10-1, guard Wyatt Davis. He's such an awesome story, and his bloodline's incredible, but he's a guard. That's the only reason he's 10-1. His father, you probably know this already, I'm not breaking any news here. We fell over ourselves talking about this at the draft. His father, Dwayne Davis, played, what was his, I'm blanking on his name, Jerry Johnson in Little Big League.
That's right.
He was Alvin Mack in the program. He was Featherstone in Necessary Roughness. In summer school, remember Jerome took the hall pass on the first day of summer school and didn't come back till the final exam? All the same guy, amazing sports movie actor. He played Buster Douglas in the HBO Mike Tyson movie. If that's not enough, Wyatt Davis's grandfather, Hall of Fame defensive end from the Packers, Willie Davis.
Yeah. So he's got real life sports bloodlines and he's got sports movie bloodlines. Like, there's no way he's a bust.
That's what I'm saying.
No way.
Ohio State guy, there's a lot there. Go to the website, read. I did a deep dive on him. There's a lot there. He and Cameron Bynum, 10-1. 8-1. This one people are either going to say is way too high or way too low. Shane Zylstra, tight end. Brandon Zylstra, very popular Mr. Mankato nominee.
Yes.
Shane Zylstra.
All the ingredients. All the ingredients are here.
6'5". Brandon was 6'2". Shane's bigger. By the way, he was a record-setting pass catcher at Minnesota State Mankato. Shane, that is. Where have we heard that before? Big dude. He's going to stand out on the practice field. He has a chance to be that one amazing preseason game. All he's got to do is have good synergy with whoever's getting the 2s and 3 reps quarterback, and he's going to be Mr. Mankato. Your thoughts?
Scouting report from when I went out there to watch the 2 June minicamp practices longer was this was Kellen Mond's guy. This guy was targeted consistently. In fact, the video is still available probably at the Twitter, at our Twitter account for Score North. But yeah, I think you're on the exact right track with how much this guy is going to get a chance to shine in training camp and preseason.
Do you think Mond and Zylstra get together at some point once they see the odds report come out and say, listen, let's band together here, okay? I'll target you. You catch the passes, get open for me, get me a couple touchdowns in the 11-on-11 full team drills, and let's boost each other's value up this Mr. Mankato odds report.
I want to live in a world where there's Mr. Mankato collusion among players.
Absolutely.
Listen to his line. Now, Mankato didn't play last year. Their division didn't play because of the pandemic. 2019, 81 catches, 1,676 yards, 18 touchdowns, all 3 of those Minnesota State Mankato single season records.
Yeah, this is intriguing.
We will make our picks before the end of the show.
And I got to say this. How fitting would it be if a guy who played his college football in the former hometown of the Vikings training camp, for which this very award is named, were to take this home?
I mean, it would be a perfect story, you might say.
He is your dark horse at 8-1. 5-1. This is the second tier behind your favorite our pair of linebackers. Chaz Surratt. Going to be a really good football player. I don't know how much he does in his rookie year. Very highly touted out of the draft. Now, really interesting note on this kid. He was a 4-star quarterback coming out of high school that had offers from Florida, Clemson, and Auburn. Ended up going to North Carolina. Didn't click at quarterback. Talked to his coach and said, I just want to go to the NFL. Coach suggested, why don't you try linebacker? He did and lit it up. Scouting zinger. Plays 100 miles per hour, snap after snap. Oh, treats running backs like speed bumps as a blitzer.
Oh,
do anything for
inject
you?
Inject all of the football terms.
You know who wants this guy?
Yes.
Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell wants this guy.
Chesterot also.
We're kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch his back, we're going to smile at you.
Thanks,
and
Dan.
Appreciate
that, Dan.
He's 24 years old also. Not exactly sure how. Oh, the punter. I forgot to mention the punter earlier. Zach Von Rosenberg. He's 30. He played minor.
No, you mentioned him.
But I didn't mention he's 30.
No, but you mentioned
he's 30 years old.
Played minor league
baseball. What's he been doing the last 8 years? Minor league baseball?
6 years in the Pittsburgh Pirates system. Only got as high as high A.
He's damaged goods.
Went to LSU to walk on as a quarterback, shifted to tight end, and then ended up as an all-conference punter. Sort of the reverse Zach Davidson. Sorry, I forgot that. That's a great note. There's a 30-year-old in the nominations here. The other 5-1 pick, Cameron Smith, the story last year, contracts COVID-19 and because of that goes and gets an exam that finds a heart defect that could have been fatal, may have saved his life. It's been a horrible disease. It's been a horrible pandemic. This is a very small diamond in the rough of what's been the pandemic that it honestly may have saved this kid's life. If he comes in and even gets, you know, let's say he's a second tier linebacker, you're going to hear a lot about that story, and he's going to be a really, really hot guy for Mr. Mankato.
Yeah, love the story. It's all about the storylines. What are people going to latch on to? And that brings us to the odds on.
Who did I leave out? Judd, the old saying is what? Who's the most popular guy in town? Always the most popular guy in town is the backup quarterback.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The Kirk Cousins detractors, there's at least one in this little Hollywood Squares that we have here, I think. They are not a silent minority. If Kellen Mond, I say it in the write-up here, all he has to do to win Mr. Mankato, in my opinion, is not curl up in a ball on a side field and weep every day. He could probably do that 2 or 3 days as long as he throws a couple balls the other days. He is going to be under the microscope big time. Everyone's going to be watching to see what he can do because whether you're for Kirk Cousins or not for Kirk Cousins, Kellen Mond has the potential to be the future of the Minnesota Vikings. If he comes out and is adequate, there's going to be buzz. If he comes out and he's good, it's going to be an absolute wildfire of enthusiasm and support. And who knows if that's the right move long-term or not, but I think that's what's going to happen.
See, I think the volatility range here is pretty high and that he's going to have the most opportunity to do just basic things that are going to give him the Mr. Mankato title, right? If he throws a couple touchdowns in the preseason, if he looks pretty good in 7-on-7s and gets some buzz, like it's a very easy path to victory if he does some basic things. But he could also have a practice where he throws 3 interceptions. He could get strip sacked in a preseason game. Like, he could look overwhelmed in a preseason game for whatever reason, and his stock could plummet too. So I agree that he's the odds-on favorite, but I think like he's going to have more opportunities on both sides of the outcome to either fail or succeed here, Judd.
I also think what's interesting is with only 2 actual preseason games, which would be paramount to this, to him being able to take this award. If what we saw in minicamp's an accurate reflection longer, we're going to see more Jake Browning than we think. And in minicamp, Jake Browning, I'll say this, was the number 2. I mean, they were clearly trying to stash Mond as the 3. And I'm curious what that maturation process or thought process is going to be from the Vikings perspective. So we're sort of at the whim of the Vikings too, as far as, and by the way, if you dial the pressure down on Mond, I don't think that's a bad idea, but that's definitely going to impact us and how we think of the voting if he doesn't get the workload, because I think we're all expecting, well, he's the 2, and I think he will be at some point. But if it's Browning, and that's where Browning becomes more of an interesting story and gets to be the Kyle Sloter sort of role of, look at Jake Browning. So, yeah, it's a little bit, I think it gets a little bit dicey because we don't know what's going to happen here with usage.
Well, let's get right at it. Let's make it official here. Let's the 4 of us here.
Well, and I just tweeted. I think I didn't say. He's even money. He's 1-to-1, even money. Yeah. The scouting zinger, athletic quarterback Judd with a next level arm who flashes brilliance. Come on. Jake Browning.
I know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm telling you what I saw.
Judd, you need to put your money where your mouth is. You keep bringing up Jake Browning. Let's go around the room and make our official picks here.
Okay.
So I just tweeted mine out. I'm taking Shane Zylstra.
Oh.
I've seen enough of the connection in Judd's scouting videos from OTAs and minicamps. Mm-hmm. I think Shane Zylstra is going to have a big preseason and training camp.
This phone has impacted Phil Mackey's selection. This is the magic phone that gets
also
all of the highlights.
I think we're also like we're so quick to crown Conklin and Irv Smith. Like we just think Irv Smith, this is finally the year for Irv Smith to break out. And well, I mean, I think Irv Smith has a chance to break out too, but he hasn't yet. Why hasn't he broken out yet? It's not like Kyle Rudolph's been, you know, Travis Kelce 2.0 the last few years. Like it shouldn't be that hard to beat out Kyle Rudolph to get more than 50% of the snaps. And so I'll just say, like, I think the Vikings' tight end depth chart is a little bit more open for interpretation than maybe we think. So give me Shane Zylstra for Mr. Mankato.
Can we go next, Judd? Dak, go ahead. Dak,
okay, okay.
Let's let Dak go.
I'll go with Kenny Nwangu. I'm going to go with Nwangu. I like the special teams angle. I think all he has to do is basically get a punt or kick return touchdown, and he's vaulting himself up there. So I am taking a preseason moment, and I think Nwangu has the most, has the biggest chance to make a preseason moment. So give me Kenny Nwangu.
I think what's tough for that is, like, in the practice sessions, they don't always carry out the full punt return and the kick return. They just sort of stop.
Yep.
So, you know, you're going to have, if you're a wide receiver, because I see some people already on the Score North Twitter posting here, why is Nwangu so low, quote-unquote?
No, and well, he's only, just Nwangu. Nwangu.
Nwangu?
Yes, Nwangu.
Nwangu.
Nwangu, yes. We'll get it. There's pronouncers in the article for a lot of these guys.
But he's not going to have that many chances to show you something if all he's doing is returning kicks and punts until we get to the game. So that's why he's lower.
I wouldn't have taken him simply because of the pronunciation. I have Nwangu. No interest in trying to remember the
Nwangu.
Pronunciation.
There's
I'll
no,
let you handle
there's
it.
No N. Nwangu. Okay, Nwangu. Dex, if I was a betting man, and I am, at 16 to 1, I'm with
and
you
I'm
in the logic.
So.
I would take that entry as well since I coupled them. You're giving me Nwangu. I'm giving me Nwangu and Amir Smith-Marset together. Sure. I think Smith-Marset might have a chance to do some things as a receiver and as a returner. I like you. There's some value at 16 to 1. Alone, those guys would have been lower. But, if I got to put my money where my mouth is, I think Kellen Mond, the heaviest favorite I've ever installed was Alexander Mattison at 3 to 2, and I've made Mond even money, so I've got to back. I got to go Kellen Mond.
Okay. Judley.
So I was going to go with Phil's pick. The Zylstra story angle is so good.
It's sexy.
But it's sexy and it's fun. But you know what? I'm not going to repeat a pick here because that's not my style. So I'm going to go for the middle of the pack. And look, and let me just say that I might have had some spies who got back to
cheating.
Me during the course of OTAs and minicamp. No, it's not cheating. It's getting an advantage on you guys.
Score North, Bill Belichick, Judd Zolgad.
Yeah.
Yes, I might have had a camera planted in Egan. You don't know. But there is an opportunity here at defensive end. On the right side, there's nobody. We could talk about Weatherly and those guys, but there's nobody. Daniil Hunter's coming back from a serious surgery, and I think he'll be good, but I also think that he's going to not play every single snap.
Good point.
So I'm going to go right in the middle of the pack and go with a guy that I was told immediately flashed, impressed them, and because he's on defense, the head coach will love him, Patrick Jones.
All right.
Patrick Jones, I was told, looked really good in the springtime. And somebody's going to have to play a lot. Somebody's going to have to win a job there. And I don't know that these veteran guys that we keep talking about are the answer. So I'm going to go with Patrick Jones, the draft pick from Pitt.
17 and a half sacks his final 2 years. And remember, he will forever be known as the guy they got in the pick that they got for Yannick Ngakoue.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
For whatever that's worth.
Frame it, baby. Yeah. All right. That's Chris Long from 5 Eyewitness News. The official odds maker for the Mr. Mankato competition. And boys, practice, or so as we record this, practice in a few hours.
I'm on my way.
And we'll see what happens. All right.
See you out there, Mr. Long.
Thank you for joining us. You can find Chris on 5 Eyewitness News. He'll be reporting from training camp. He anchors on Friday and Saturday nights, too. So check him out. And is it Chris Long, KSTP, on Twitter?
It is indeed.
So, all right. All right, we're going to take a deep breath here. We're going to come back with some Write That Down predictions and an accountability session on this first day of Vikings training camp. Mackie and Judd.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Welcome in to the most innovative and high-risk segment in sports talk. Write That Down with Mackie and Judd, our executive producer Declan Goff. We make predictions and hold each other accountable, unlike any other show in the country, where they're all trying to brush their incorrect predictions and takes under the rug as if you've never seen or heard them, right? Oh, just pretend that never happened. Not on this show. When are you guys going to admit that you were wrong? Well, every Wednesday on both Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. And Thursdays with old tweets exposed. In fact, we should probably stop admitting how often that we're wrong.
This is correct.
Damaging our credibility on this show. Mm-hmm. I think our credibility has been shot.
Been shot
we're just that mentally tough. can take it. We can take all the arrows. We can take all the shots.
Is that a shot at Simone Biles? Are you taking a shot at Simone Biles right now?
No. I'm not taking a shot at. You know what? No, definitely not. I would never take a shot at anything to do with a sport I know nothing about.
Well, I have takes on that, but I think we should just wait on those until we get maybe Patrick Royce in. So
do you really have takes?
I do have takes on that. I do have takes on that, but now's not the time for my Simone Biles takes. Oh, now's the time
confine
for
your takes to our sports that we talk about, okay?
So here's how Write That Down works. Three predictions each week from everybody. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And if you guys want to participate as listeners of the Mackey and Judd Show, you can just send us a message through the Score North app. You can just tap on the feedback link at the bottom of the homepage of our free-to-download app. And send a message to Declan, and we'll get you scheduled. Are you guys ready for this comeuppance here? Judd has maintained a batting average and home run lead for the better part of like 2 years now. Let's see where Judd stands here. Some good and some bad. Oh, you said yeah. Shohei Ohtani will hit at least two home runs against the Twins in their four-game series.
Pardon my French, but Rocco screwed me on Sunday. That intentional walk, I actually did stand up in the press box and start booing and yelling.
You said Aaron Rodgers is entering his last season with the Green Bay Packers. You said that a year and a half ago, and you were almost right.
That was such a grand slam home run if that was right.
God, you were almost right on that one. I think we're giving you a home run on this one. You said like 2 months ago, the Wild will lose Carson Soucy in the expansion draft. I mean, you said this before they set their protected player list. You said this. It could have been any number of guys. I'm not saying it was like wildly unlikely, but I think this is a home run because.
Oh, I got what you did there. Wildly unlikely.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you worked that in.
Yeah, I know we've been cracking down on how many home runs Judd hits here, but this one I think goes over the fence unless you guys disagree. Dex,
I'm not going to disagree.
I know you're not going to disagree. Yeah, I think it's a dinger. I think it's a dinger.
Okay,
I'm fine with it.
You also said the Twins will deal Nelson Cruz by the trade deadline, which is a single.
Yeah,
so nice little week for Judd Zolgad.
Yep.
I had one thing come off the board. I said Taylor Rogers would be the first Twins player traded before the deadline. It was Nelson Cruz. Now Taylor Rogers won't be traded because he's on the injured list. At least. It's unlikely that he'll be traded. Can you trade a guy if a team wants to trade for him?
I think you can.
Okay.
But this is also the first time in his entire career he's had to go on that list. That's too bad. No.
All right, listeners, Jonathan Harrison, our old producer friend representing the listeners here, he said Aaron Rodgers will not be the Packers quarterback in 2021. He said this almost 2 years ago. And again, he was close. He was close, but Rodgers, we have video footage now of Rodgers on the practice field with the Packers. All right, a few things to highlight here for Declan. Well, he said Ian Poulter. I think I left this on accident.
Oh,
I can't remember
step.
If I counted this.
Yeah,
but that was wrong.
Correct.
Ian Poulter, top 15 at the Open. You said Brent Rooker will be called up by the Twins by the end of the month. Not only has he been called up, he's been on fire.
Yeah, I think that happened like an hour after I made that prediction, too. It was pretty damn quick.
And then you said, this is not off the board yet, but you said the Twins will obtain at least two prospects who were top 10 prospects in opposing teams' organizations by the deadline. Well, they got one.
Yep.
Is it Joe Ryan from
Correct.
The Rays was like their...
He was 10.
10th or something.
Yep.
So you're on the right path here. And
one more,
if they trade Jose Berríos, they will for sure give you a point here.
So, and really quick, and is it because... are you caught up with The Bachelor at before I make this saying, Bill?
I did not watch
The Men Tell All.
The Men Tell All.
But you saw the episode previously?
Yes.
So we have to physically wait till hometowns start for Greg to be in hometowns, right? Is that why that hasn't off the board yet?
Oh, he's got a she's got a
we have to physically
in his hometown.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, got it. I just wanted to be sure.
I mean,
sure
anything can happen. I mean, who
yes.
knows?
Maybe he could bail, you know, sad puppy eyes Greg. He could bail. So I feel you.
So, you know, some things I think we can, like the Aaron Rodgers stuff. All right. I guess if there's some weird trade that happens between now
right.
and week one, we can revisit these. But we'll wait till there's an actual hometown. So, Judd, you're back to 400, and you have the lead with five home runs on the season.
Mm.
Nice job. Declan, 333 with two home runs. I'm at 328 with two home runs. And listeners are at 310 with four home runs, one behind Judd Leeds. So everyone doing pretty well here this season. All-time career stats, Judd has retied the all-time home run lead with listeners at 13, and he now has 170 career hits. So there you have it. That's the accountability session.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Let's get our guest listener predictors in here. We've got Matt. We've got Ryan. Let's go to Matt first. What's your strategy, Matt? Are you here to hit bombs? Are you here to bunt? What are you doing here today?
I'm just here to play the right way. We're not intentionally walking anybody. Trash here. We're playing the game the right way. We'll see how the chips fall.
Yeah, I feel like we don't always play the game the right way here. We're very backstabbing and conniving. So glad somebody has some honor. Ryan, are you here to play the game the right way? What's your strategy?
You know, I hope so. I hope to do the listeners well. I feel like the downfall of the listeners some weeks is going only for bombs. So we're going to work our way up to the more outlandish predictions, but start off more feasible.
Nice. All right, so here's the order.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
We're going to go Matt, Ryan, Judd, Declan, and then back to me, and we'll see how many times I screw that up here.
Yes.
But Matt, why don't you lead us off your first prediction, sir?
All right, my first prediction is that Byron Buxton will be the starting center fielder for the American League in a Twins uniform next season.
All right. I like it.
Okay.
I think they'd have to come to a contract extension for that to happen. I don't think they would enter the last year of his contract without trading him. So we'll see what happens.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Ryan, your first prediction.
All right, sticking with the Twins, I predict that the Twins will finish bottom four in the American League standings by the end of the 2021 season. Yeah.
So where are they at? They're kind of flirting there now.
I think they're in three or four.
Okay.
They've got a good chance at the rate they're going to fulfill your expectations.
Yeah, especially if they trade Berríos, I don't know, it's pretty much...
Write it down, you like writing things down.
Pretty much a lock. Judd.
Let's make it 3-for-3 with the trade deadline this week. The Twins will trade at least three current players, so players currently on the roster as I do this, before the 3 p.m. deadline on Friday. So they will trade, there will be at least three guys on that roster right now who will be moved before the deadline on Friday.
Okay, off the record, who are the three that you're most confident about being traded?
They'll move Simmons. I think they'll move Berríos now, which I didn't before.
Pineda probably goes, and then
just a general slappy.
I think Donaldson might go. They're going to try and clear out. I think clearing out money now that Byron Buxton keeps rejecting him.
I would give him away, yes. But yes, I think it's at least three.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Declan.
All right, my predictions are all very volatile because they could be coming off the board within the next 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm gonna
Declan's like super worried that his. Yeah. I'm gonna stall here.
Yeah. First prediction as I talk over everyone else here. The Wild will sign Alex Galagoski in free agency. The Wild will sign Alex Galagoski in free agency.
Okay.
That's my first prediction.
All right, that's fine.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, I gotta be honest.
Hey, Phil. If you stall now, you can actually get Declan past the point of his next prediction being allowed. Like if you work, because here's the great thing about this show, ain't no shot clock.
No, there isn't. No, in fact, let me tell you a story about the first ever incarnation of Write That Down. You know, we were just, the segment started with us just offering advice to local general managers and managers. And then it kind of turned into predictions. And then Declan, we started keeping track on a spreadsheet of our predictions, and it just sort of evolved from there. And you know, it's been a blast. Just really love this.
You know
segment.
What? It seems to me that explanation, which was rich with history, and I really enjoyed, should have a sponsor behind it. Do you have a sponsor or two to read?
I'm glad you brought that up because one thing I love to do during these summer months is golf, and PXG Minneapolis has. Any golfer in the Twin Cities covered with some of the best clubs you're going to find. The Gen 4 clubs are the best clubs PXG has ever made. They also have different clubs in different price ranges. So, you know, if you want something priced a little bit more within reach, the 0 to 11 clubs are definitely great. Apparel, you know, it's swassy out there. You're going to want something comfortable, something light, something breathing. PXG's got summer apparel you can check out. PXG Minneapolis and Southdale Center. It's a golfer's paradise. Find out more at pxg.com/ Minneapolis. All right.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right,
down.
So back to the story about the origins of Write That Down. I'm just kidding. All right, here's my first prediction. I need some hits here. I've fallen far too far behind Judd. So Jack Eichel will be traded by the end of August, but he will not be traded to the Wild.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
Okay.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Okay. Matt, your second prediction.
My second prediction is predicting the winners of all the NFC division champions. So in the East, it'll be the Washington football team. In the North, it will be the Minnesota Vikings. In the West, it'll be the Los Angeles Rams. And in the South, it'll be, sadly, the Buccaneers again.
Yeah. The Buccaneers are interesting. Good. Brady's about to turn 44. They're running it back. Kind of feel like there might be a hurdle there, but we'll see.
Write it down. You like writing things down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Off the record, Washington football team's going to beat the Buccaneers in the playoffs.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
You know what?
That defense.
Matt coming in hot.
Yep.
I love it.
I love that prediction.
Yep. All right, Ryan, your second prediction.
All righty. You guys might need to help me out if this isn't quantifiable enough. But so I predict that before the start of the 2021 NFL playoffs, there will be legit chatter about adding a second bye week to upcoming NFL seasons.
So what's give us the deadline on that again?
Just before the start of the playoffs. And I guess the part that would be hard to quantify is like how you quantify chatter.
I feel like it needs to be a report.
I think a credible report is how we sort of decide as a committee what's credible and what's not. Like if it's just I like football 69 on Twitter,
if Cincinnati has like 50 players in the hospital by week 7 as usual and their third string linebacker is tweeting about it. Yeah, not like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this would be adding a bye week for future seasons.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we can definitely. We've done the credible reports thing here. We can definitely work with that.
Cool.
Yep.
Write that down.
All right, Judd Zulgad, your second prediction.
So I've got three football predictions for Purple Daily today, but in honor of the Vikings opening training camp, I feel like I need to bring at least one football prediction to this show as well.
Sure.
It's been a long time for me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Write this down. Kellen Mond will not be second on the Vikings depth chart at quarterback to begin the regular season. Kellen Mond will not be second. So he will not be the immediate backup to Kirk Cousins to begin the season. So opening day or the first depth chart for the regular season, that's released off the record. I think it's going to be Browning unless he completely implodes. But I just want to throw that out there that I think they're going to slow cook Mond as far as expectations go.
Right. Write that down.
Okay. Declan Goff, your second prediction, sir.
The Wild will sign Nick Foligno in free agency. The Wild will sign Nick Foligno.
The Foligno fraternity
free agency,
here.
And we are 5 minutes away as we record this from free agency opening. So, yes, could be very volatile. Very volatile.
Yeah. And that's definitely not much. So, is your third prediction?
Nothing
also
wild related, actually. So, now you guys can pontificate as long as you want because I got all of them out. My third prediction is not sports related.
I was going to say because my friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company have just been so helpful to business owners in and around the Twin Cities, around the state of Minnesota. They've been in Owatonna since 1904, and they've also been helping raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. The Federated Challenge has helped raise $41 million since 2005. For the 116-year-old one-to-one mentoring organization that is Big Brothers Big Sisters. So whether they're helping businesses or whether they're helping raise money for a great cause and Big Brothers Big Sisters, Federated does some amazing things. Find out more about Big Brothers Big Sisters at bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
Write that down.
All right, my second prediction here. The Timberwolves will wind up with a draft pick or a player that was drafted this year. I'll say by the end of draft night, like they can't officially pull the trigger on a trade, but there will be a reported trade where the Wolves wind up with either a draft pick or one of the players that was drafted on draft night.
Okay.
It was funny because Chris Finch was actually interviewed last night on Bally Sports North by Arnie Gellner at one point because Ant Edwards threw out the first pitch. Not bad. Threw a little Ephus pitch, got it over there pretty well. And Chris Finch said, yeah, it's a big week for us. We're just gearing up for the draft. And it was like, and then he paused, like, because he knew how stupid that sounded because they don't have a draft pick. He's like, you know, we got some things cooking in that area. So, you know, we might trade. We're trying to trade Jarrett Culver for literally anything. So, yeah, it'd be great if someone could bite on that. Call me, Finchy. All right, Matt, your third and final prediction, sir.
All right, I'm going with Declan on this one. Staying away from sports, my last pick. I don't know what kind of music you guys like, but I'm going to be making some Grammy predictions here.
Oh, I love it.
2022 Grammys, the song Leave the Door Open by Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak will win both Record of the Year, which is like just overall best song, and Song of the Year, which goes to the songwriters.
My man.
Love it, dude. I love it. Love it, dude. I saw Bruno Mars in Chicago one time, like 7 years ago. Legitimately one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Like, yeah, he does all of his stuff, and then he does a bunch of covers. He'll throw it back to, like, 50s music and doo-wop and stuff. He's unbelievable.
I love me a good cover. Yeah.
Is that the first time that a listener has come on and made a non-sports prediction? Because if so, congratulations.
No, we've
had plenty of non-sports. I think it's the first music prediction, though.
Yeah, okay.
for sure. Yeah, we're branching out here.
Awesome.
So, Matt, love it. Great work. Since you've got this life-changing platform here for you in front of the masses of Mackie and Judd fans, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that got you to this point? Besides this dog that's about to kill me.
First, I want to shout out my boy, Joe Gallus. We both go to the U of M, and we sit in our frat house and listen to Score North when we have time. So shout out to him. I know he'll be listening. Then I'll shout out my uncle. He's the rookie. I don't know if you guys know him. But
Matt Mikulski, the rookie?
Yes, sir.
Nice, man.
The rookie. Love it. Garage Logic. By the way, Garage Logic is exploding the last year and a half as a podcast, almost as much as Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he kind of showed me the ropes on how to, get my foot in the door. So nice. Shout out to him.
Love it, man.
Awesome, man. Love it. Yeah, Judd and I have worked with the Rook for like 10 years, so right on. All right,
great
Matt,
dude, yeah.
Great work, and we'll get you on again sometime, and we'll track these. We'll root for you.
All right, appreciate it, boys.
Thanks, man.
All right. Ryan, your final.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Final prediction is the Vikings and Wild will combine for 4 playoff series wins for their respective upcoming seasons.
Whoa. You said the Vikings and the Wild.
Correct. So meaning like if the Vikings win the Super Bowl as a wild card team, I'm just counting that as like, I know the NFL doesn't work with series.
Yeah,
right, you know, it's just games. And the Wild missed the playoffs, then this would come true if they each win 2 or if one, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, are you saying they'll win 4 or at least 4?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. At least 4. Correct.
Okay. Thank if it was that. Judd, I would not have helped there.
Right.
Or Declan. But I just don't, want them to win a Super Bowl and then we come on the show the next week and sorry. The Wild also won a playoff series. It was 5. And so you're
wrong.
I'm
glad we bend the rules for some people.
All right. So, Ryan, since you've got this platform here, just gigantic and massive and life-changing, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to this point?
I forgot to come up with a script for what I'd say for this. So, you know, we'll just audible it real quick. You know, I'd like to shout out to the moms and the dads of the world. You know, they brought me
totally
here.
Agree.
They kind of forced me to.
I mean, you could have been born an ant or a house cat or something. Like you could have been born a house plant. You know,
right,
think about how lucky you are to be born a Minnesota sports fan instead.
Or a Packers fan.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That would be a disaster. So, yeah.
Love it. Well, Ryan, dude, thanks for coming on the show, taking your swings, and we'll do it again sometime.
All righty. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's guest listener predictors Matt and Ryan doing a nice job. Judd, back to you. Final trip around the room here.
All right, I'm going to go back to baseball for this one, boys. Jose Barrios will be pitching in the senior circuit, a.k.a. the National League, next season.
Literally have the same prediction.
Jose Barrios, I don't know where he's going to be, but he's not going to be in Minnesota, and he won't be in the American League. He'll be doing what God intended, which is hitting as a pitcher.
So next season.
So next season, yes.
Got it.
Because I think he's going to get moved by Friday, but if he doesn't, I don't think there's any way he doesn't get moved this offseason.
I need to go back to the drawing board then. I literally...
Write that down.
All right, Declan.
All right. Just pick a team.
I'm going to double down on a Bachelorette prediction about my man Greg.
I love it.
And I will say Greg will win.
Sunken eyes, sad eyes Greg.
Sad puppy eyes Greg. I love how Katie's always like, are you okay? Are you doing all right today, Greg? Is everything okay? Yeah. Like, is everything... Like, you look like you have a resting sad face all the time, pal. Like, cheer up a little bit. My God. Like, you're hanging out with, like, the coolest woman of all time. I would not be that sad. Anyway, my prediction, Greg will win the Bachelorette. So I have him in another prediction making it to hometowns. I'm going to double down and say he will also win the Bachelorette. And I don't read spoilers, by the way. I don't read spoilers.
Yeah. I don't either. My wife for years has read spoilers and we watch the show. And then we'll be watching and she'll say, so what do you think happens here? And I'm like, don't do that.
Don't do it.
I'm on your wife's side. I do the exact same thing.
You do spoilers?
And it bugs on. I love spoilers because then I like when I know what to expect because I, in my mind, know what I think is going to happen and I'm anxious to see if it's true.
All right, write it down.
Write that down.
I'm going to get more specific because
I also want to
reclaim the home run lead that I once had, and you can't do that without taking big swings. So I agree with Judd that Jose Berríos will be headed to the National League, and specifically, he will head to a team that needs to overcome two foes in its division, but a team that could win the World Series with the right moves. An aggressive general manager, the San Diego Padres. Mm. Jose Berríos will be traded to the San Diego Padres. And this is off the record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw a name at you guys, okay? So the third overall pick in the 2017 draft was Mackenzie Gore.
Mm-hmm.
He is a hard-throwing left-handed starting pitcher, and he buzzsawed his way through the first few levels of the minor leagues pretty well, like A-ball, high A. Then the pandemic hit, and this year he has like a 6 ERA at AAA for El Paso. And I just think it's possible that the Padres could say, all right, we're out. And the Twins could look to buy low on the third overall pick from 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then they have to develop him. But
he was like a top 5 prospect in baseball 2 years ago.
Yep. And he came into the season still one of the top like 10 to 15 prospects. But I think it's possible that the Padres could say, screw it, we can win a World Series right now. This dude's underperforming. Let's cut bait and let's get Jose Berríos. That's off the record, but I want you to acknowledge me. Acknowledge me.
Wait, hold on a second. You just gave all of the details. Dex, I hope you wrote those down.
No, I did not.
Oh, Mackenzie Gore. If Mackenzie Gore happens, it's a home run without the Mackenzie Gore thing because I'm giving you a specific team.
Yep. No,
yeah,
I got
no.
you.
If it all doesn't happen, you're
it's
wrong.
Not the, it's not the.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
If the Padres don't hold a press conference and say, never mind.
Phil Mackey was the first to report and call this a few days ago. I'm going to want John Heyman, Ken Rosenthal, all the biggest heavy hitter reporters. I want John Heyman, John Morosi, Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan, and Dan Hayes from The Athletic to all give me credit that I nailed this prediction properly.
Nice.
So those are the write that down predictions here on Mackey and Judd. Every single week we put our necks on the line and do what no other talk show has the gall to do. All right. Any other final thoughts from you guys before we ship Judd off to Vikings training camp, get some Purple Daily action?
It's just a great day. We've got training camp starting. Free agency in the National Hockey League is kicking off right as we record this, and there has been clearly tampering going on constantly.
I love tampering.
But who cares about that? There is the trade deadline for baseball is on Friday. This is one of the, as Dex said in statements on Monday, this is one of the great weeks ever, and it won't be replicated.
No, because of the sports calendars
shift
all matching
back
up
to what we were before the pandemic problems.
Suter's contract with Dallas, I'm not sure if you guys said this, 4 years, $3.65 million a year.
Yep.
That's not bad.
And from Russo Hockey, Alex Galagoski has multiple multi-year offers, but it sounds like he's leaning towards a lucrative one-year deal with the Minnesota Wild.
Ooh,
that one makes more sense, right?
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll have a lot more on that front too. We're gonna shut up so Declan can post some of this stuff before it gets outdated. And we'll see you guys on Purple Daily, Mackey and Judd Daily, Minnesota Sports Entertainment. We want titles.